sometime here soon, and it may sound gross, I don't know, but I want to have my funeral all planned out. Yes, Ryan, I will write the eulogy that you'll proclaim. But I'd like to ask if that would be one of the songs that we can sing. I've got a few more, so there will be music. And if I don't get this done, make sure there's music. Okay. Very few songs bring tears to my eyes. That's one of them, so. Galatians chapter 3 this morning, if you open up and keep your finger there. We'll be covering the first five verses this morning. To bring us back into context of where we're at, Paul is writing this letter, one of his earliest letters that he's written, to a church that he has spent much time with, laying down the foundation of the faith in his teaching. He has seen many of them commit themselves to the Lord. He has seen them work out their salvation in fear and trembling. And he writes this letter to believers. And we don't want to lose sight of that, especially in some of the language that he is using. A group of quote-unquote Jewish believers, and I say quote-unquote because depending on their mindset, they are either saved or unsaved. But this group has come up from Jerusalem into the region of Galatia, bringing with them a false gospel. And it is not a false gospel as in you must believe in Zeus or Mohammed or Buddha. But it is a false gospel, and they have part of the truth, but they're adding a falsehood along with it. These Jews that have come up, they have lived under the teaching of the apostles in the early church in Jerusalem. But a salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, to them is not enough. It must include the works of the law that they had lived all of their life under. A law that we see throughout Scripture that cannot save. For if you live by the law and break the least of them, you have broken the entire thing. So then they come into Galatia proclaiming, yes, you must have faith in Christ, but you also must be circumcised. You also must keep the feasts. You also must do this and this and this. And it nullifies the grace of God. Paul has used verses or chapters 1 and 2 of this letter to defend his apostleship. What gives him the right to have authority in these matters? He's going to use chapters 3 and 4 to proclaim grace through faith in our salvation. Now, I started out this morning, we read from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And if you were to ask the average Westerner today, anyone who had any knowledge of Scripture whatsoever, and many people in many churches across this fine land of ours, what was the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Most would lead you straight to Acts chapter 2. The rushing wind, the tongues, and yes, even the confusion that we see in verse 13. But I'd like to look this morning and see what the actual purpose of the Holy Spirit is. Why He exists. Now I'll admit, from where the position of our church and churches that are like ours, we sometimes want to get as far away from the Holy Spirit as we can. That is a wrong position. Sometimes we don't want to be likened to other churches who put more of an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Again, that is a wrong perspective. It is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Each co-equal in the Godhead. Each as important to one another. We cannot cling to two and discard the one, because then we are not living under the Godhead. So this is going to be a matter of discussion over the next few weeks. And pray for me as we go through this, that God gives me the proper words to help explain just what He is talking about. Again, we will cover verses 1 through 3, or 1 through 5 of chapter 3 today. I will wish to explain 1 through 5 as they sit here in Scripture. I will try my very best not to bring along baggage that I hold, because I want the proper understanding myself, and I want the proper understanding to bring to you. Look down with me. Verses 1 through 5 of Galatians 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed has crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith? Let's pray. Father, you've given us this passage this morning. I did not search it out. I did not pinpoint it. Father, as a matter of fact, if I had my choice, I'd probably run as far away from it as possible. But because we believe in the whole counsel of God, you have given us this meat this morning. Father, give me wisdom. Father, help me communicate clearly and properly with the help of your Holy Spirit, just what you would have communicated to us today. Take my tongue, Lord. May it be yours this morning. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christmas is coming very soon. Christmas was always a joyous time with our kids. Our kids lacked for nothing at Christmas time. Beth's mom made sure of that. I mean, needless to say, when our kids were young, I dare say Beth and I spent hardly anything on Christmas presents for our kids. Christmas at our house was, up until the last few years, now as she's gotten older, the presents have gotten smaller. She likes gift cards. Megan says, so do we. But, I mean, imagine Beth and I growing up with our four children at the time, having a room about the size of the pulpit area, maybe a little bit bigger. And piles of presents. Josh, Jamie, Jennifer, Joanna. Christmas to our kids was exhausting because it looked something like this. Forgive me, camera. They were seated on the ground. Rip, rip, rip. Rip, rip, rip. Rip, rip, rip. And that would go on for about a half an hour. Even today, I have finally figured out, and bless her heart, she's not here. But we would all, the adults, would open up our presents, and we would get a flashlight that was a keychain and a can opener and a beat somebody on the head stick if you're in the car. And each boy would get one. It wasn't until we moved in with her that we figured out where those came from. Ladies and gentlemen, Publishers Clearing House does not just sell magazines. But I say all of that so you have the picture of what our Christmas looked like and what it looks like today. But as the kids were opening up their presents, there was not a list of rules for them to follow. They did not have to walk up to their present pile and do some act of greatness, some act of charity, any act whatsoever, because those gifts were purchased for them and for them to open. Unlike the gift of Christ that the Judaizers here in Galatians was presenting. Yes, believer, you have the free gift of Jesus Christ. It's free. But you have to do this. Men, you have to be circumcised. You must follow the works of the law. Oh, don't be covetous. Don't lie. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. It's all Christ. But you have a part in it as well. Remember how Paul opened this letter. As he said, I'm amazed, in verse 6 of chapter 1, that you so quickly deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. They weren't deserting for Buddha. They weren't deserting for Muhammad. They were deserting because of Christ plus works. Now, I like verse 3. Of chapter 3. As of today, it's my favorite verse in the Bible. Because then when I'm driving her down the highway and somebody cuts me off and I say, "You stupid fool!" Beth says, "You shouldn't call anybody foolish." Paul does. Paul says, "You foolish Galatians." These are people that he loves. These are believers in Christ. They're on their way to heaven. Who has bewitched you? Interesting word. Used only here in Scripture. Makes me want to go like this. Those of you who are older understand. Who has bewitched you? Who has put something in the way to dissuade you in a negative way? Who's bewitched you? before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, we take that back to verse 21 of chapter 2. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If we can do it on our own, then Christ didn't need to die. Before whose eyes Christ Jesus was publicly portrayed as crucified. He was crucified. He was crucified for a reason. That reason being that only He can save. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Go back to verse 20 of chapter 1. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Christ lives in me. While at the same time, the Spirit of Christ lives in me. The Spirit of God the Father lives in me. The Holy Trinity lives within me. Paul says, where did the Spirit come from? Did the Spirit come because you obeyed the law? Or did the Spirit come because you had faith? It's a question we need to ask. I mean, are you a believer today because you have your good works have outweighed your bad? That God looks down upon you and says, oh, you're not that bad. I grant you the Spirit because your works are good. Or do we have the Spirit because God gave Him to us? That He opened our eyes. He breathed a breath of life within us and gave us the indwelling of His Spirit. Verse 3. Here's my favorite word again. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now perfected by the flesh? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. My works, Lord, I give them to You to help You, because You are not powerful enough on Your own to save me. That's what we're saying, is it not? That's what these Judaizers were saying. Christ was not enough. It's got to be Christ plus something. Christ plus something equals damnation. Eternal damnation. Christ alone is the only way to salvation. Paul says, did you suffer so many things in vain? if indeed it was in vain. I mean, remember what was happening in Jerusalem. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. The CNN and the CNBC of Jesus' day, they did all kinds of reporting on the death of Christ. His resurrection? Not so much. Oh, we can't tell people that. He didn't rise again. His disciples stole his body. We must have misplaced him. He's in another tomb. We just haven't been able to find it yet. That was the news of Jesus' day. Because of Christ's resurrection, because of the miraculous salvation of over 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, because of the continued salvation of so many more whenever the apostles preached the word. The Christians were hated. Did you suffer so many things in vain? They were scattered. They had to leave their homes. Only because they believed in faith and not works. They were hated by the Romans. They were hated by the Jews. And sometimes when we take a position of correctness or truth, we're hated by all those around us. Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? I mean, you could have, at the time, just accepted the works, been a good Jew. I believe in the works of the law and Jesus. Verse 5. So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? For the most part, what was missing in the Old Testament? How did they believe they were saved in the Old Testament? I was asked this question this morning. If you took, what's that? Following the law, Emily? Don't give me the right answer. They had sacrifices. They had works that they accomplished. I mean, you lived under works the entire year. Then you sacrificed at the end of the year to cover any of the sins that you actually did commit, because we can't keep the law. I mean, if the law taught us anything, it was that we can't keep the law. I mean, if I was to ask each and every one of you this morning that from the time we leave until the time we gather again next week, that you take the Ten Commandments and you live under them and do not break a single one. Who'd be successful? No? Nobody? I mean, I can live a week without coveting, can't I? There's always something out there that I want. Certainly, I can live without murdering. I haven't murdered anybody in my 56 years. He who hates anyone has committed murder in his heart. Adultery. I have been ever faithful to my wife. Never another woman. If you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you have committed adultery. I mean, I dare say if we had an evening service and I gave you this assignment, that we probably couldn't get to the evening service without breaking many of the commandments. What makes the difference? And Paul points it out here. It's our faith. How were Old Testament people saved? Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Noah. By faith, Sarah. And so on, and so on, and so on. How did they receive faith? How do you receive faith? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Faith is our gift. The Holy Spirit is our presenter. What is the real work of the Holy Spirit in our world today? What is the great miracle of the Holy Spirit in our world today? It is that dead hearts begin to beat, that blind spiritual eyes are opened, that we have the ability to become sons of God through the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we should cling to the Holy Spirit so much more than other denominations and other churches proclaim they do. Not that he makes our physical life better. Not that he gives us our best life now. Not that we can have a better relationship with our spouses and our families. But so we can have a relationship with God. That's his purpose. So when we say Christ plus, we can actually say the Holy Spirit plus. God plus anything equals damnation. Jesus plus anything equals damnation. The Holy Spirit plus anything leads to damnation. What are we counting on for our salvation? Are we counting on a work that we did? Or were we counting on the work that He did? And like I said, over the course of the next few weeks, we'll jump deeper and deeper into this subject matter. Father, I'm thankful that there was a day that I was crucified with You. Father, I no longer live unto myself. It's not I who live, but You who live in me. But Lord, I must confess there are times that I wander. There are times when it don't feel like You're living within me. It feels like I've taken the throne back. But Father, Your word makes it clear that that cannot happen. Even though we fight with the flesh, even though we might fall from time to time, You still have residence within us. And it's that Holy Spirit that convicts us and guides us back to where we need to be. Father, we thank You for Your convicting power. Father, we're thankful that You can be convicting without anybody trying to be manipulating with words. But Father, I ask this morning that if there's anyone here today that has never heard the true path to salvation, who may be relying upon their own righteousness, their own works, Father, who may say they believe in You, Father, the demons believe and tremble. Father, if our eyes have been opened, continue to mold us and make us into the image of Your Son. If our eyes are yet to be open, may Your Spirit convict us. May we lift our eyes up to heaven and cry out, confessing our sins unto You, turning to You in repentance and faith. Father, we long for Your coming. But Father, when You come back, or when we take our final breath, without coming to You, it will be too late. Father, we praise You and thank You for the salvation that You have given us. That it's in You and You alone. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.